And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I'll perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons make themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." Verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Brother Paul, but Todd, Samuel. Father, this morning we come before you in this service. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would speak through Todd, use him as your instrument. And Lord, as we move ahead in this service, that we could discern your will. We look for your wisdom, your mind, the very mind of Christ in this matter. And we ask this in his name. Amen. God bless.
Thank you, brother. Well, we do want to say amen to the reading of Scripture this morning. This is the word of the Lord that we're hearing this morning from his word, and hearing the word about the word. And we want to hear God speak to us this morning in a special way. Give you greetings to each one, and it is again a privilege to be here for a significant experience here in the life of the Faith congregation. I think maybe this is about the fourth, at least the third, maybe the fourth ordination that we've been a part of since a number of us were asked to serve on the advisory team. And so it is a privilege to be able to share in this significant event, and it is a significant event. I guess one could make the case that every event in the life of a church when God's people meet is significant. But there are few that have the same impact and for possibly generations that it does when we select leadership. because in our Anabaptist circles, we do see a call to the ministry as being basically a lifetime call until such time that the Lord leads to lay aside those responsibilities in local administrative leadership. But we look at this as long-term call. It's not just something that you put a term on and say, well, the next 7 years or the next 3 years or whatever. But we look at leadership like this to be a call for a long period of time that will significantly impact the life of a congregation, possibly for generations. And so we do not take this lightly. And I appreciate the diligent work that I've been told that the leadership team has been doing here and leading you as a congregation to evaluate qualifications, call, position, and how this all will work out and flesh out in the future and even the next week here. And so we appreciate that. And so with those qualifications message already having been preached and so on, I was asking the Lord where we should go this morning, and my attention went to 1 Samuel chapter 3, the call of God's servant. And I'm reminded this morning of a story about in the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of being king. And he began to seek something else instead of being a monarch. So he went to Prior Richard of a local monastery, and he asked to be accepted into the monastery and give his life to the work of the Lord and in that cloister. And so Richard said to him, "Your Majesty, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That will be hard because you have been a king." And King Henry said, "I understand. The rest of my life I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." And then Prior Richard said, "Then I will tell you what to do. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully and in the place where God has put you." And when King Henry died, a statement was written, "The king learned to rule by being obedient." And really, that's what we're talking about this morning when we look at the four calls to a Christian and to three at least to every Christian and one to specific positions of leadership. And that's what I want to share with you from 1 Samuel this morning is obedience to the call of God. Obedience to the call of God in a person's life. And I see three or four particularly obedience calls this morning that I'll share with you. But as we do, I want you to look at the what is the passage is saying here this morning when we talk about being obedient to the Word of God. We do have a Word-based faith. And this is very clearly laid out here in chapter 3. If you look in verse 1, you see the word "word." The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Verse 7, "Nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." Verse 17, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you?" And verse 21, "By the word of the Lord." And so what we're talking about this morning when we think about being obedient to the call of God on a person's life is we're talking about being obedient to the Word of God. And then we see also a corresponding theme here, and that is to hear. To hear that Word in verse 9. He said, "Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant hears." In verse 10, the Lord stood by, and then Samuel answered and said, "Speak, for your servant hears." And in verse 11, again, "Everyone who hears it, their ears will tingle." In fact, both ears are going to tingle. This is an impactful thing that they were going to hear. And then you see the word "spoken" in verse 9. "Speak, Lord." Verse 10, "Speak, for your servant hears." Verse 12, "In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house." And so we see something significant happening here is the word and the hearing and the speaking. And God wants to speak to his people, but he wants people that will hear. And he wants people that will respond. And so that's what we're looking for this morning, is for the congregation to collectively attempt to hear from God in such a way that you can move forward with identifying and moving in harmony with the Word of God. Now, this is contrasted with what was also happening here in the passage, where there was no spiritual vision. There was no spiritual vision. In verse 1, it says, there was no widespread revelation. I'm using the New King James this morning. There was no open vision, the King James says. There was no widespread revelation. God was not in the habit of speaking, nor was he in the habit of being heard. Nor were the people in the habit of obeying what they did hear. But that was about to change. God was wanting to break through the dullness of hearing, break through the dimness of vision. Verse 2, it says that Eli was lying down in his place when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And you see that this widespread lack of vision characterized in the natural of what was also true of them in the spiritual. That Eli, in the compromises that he had made through the years, had grown, his vision for God and for spiritual things had grown dim because of his compromise through the years. And there was a dimness in the people of God. And with no word from God, the people lose their way. And so we want to hear, we want God to speak, we want to understand, and we want to have that vision that God wants to create when his word is given out and experienced and responded to. And of course, then, the specific message here was one of judgment on Eli's house. The sins of his son, the sins of adultery and abuse of their power, the sins of exploiting their position for their own advantage, the sins of dishonoring and even blaspheming and cursing God, in essence. One translation says it, in defiling the sanctuary. Eli had rebuked them, but he had not restrained them. So he had not taken the word of the Lord seriously enough to do something with it, and to do something which would have been hard. In essence, he favored his sons more than he favored God, and he favored his sons more than he favored God's holy name. And I pray that would not be the case here at Faith as you move forward as a congregation, but that you would come under the word of the Lord, and you would hear the word of the Lord and respond to the word of God, not in favoring one person over another or one group of people over another group of people, but simply saying, this is the word of the Lord, and we will respond to it even if it calls us to do hard things. And so we have this morning, what I'd like to share with you from this passage is four calls that we need to hear and respond to. The first call, and I guess one could say that the three of the first three calls really could be wrapped up into one. But for the sake of having 4 points this morning instead of two, we'll put them into four. But the first call that we experience in life is the call to repentance. The call to repentance, the call to salvation. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And as you think about calling a minister this morning, you're going to want to make sure that this person has answered the call to repentance. Amen? We're not looking for someone who has said no to God. We're looking for someone who has said yes to God. We're looking for someone who has a clear testimony. We're not looking for someone who will get a clear testimony quickly, but one who has a clear testimony, one who has responded to the call of God to repent, to forsake, to confess Christ as Savior and Lord, and to follow Christ. That's who we're looking for. That's who God is looking for. And so Revelation says that the call comes through the Spirit to come and take of the water of life freely. The Bible says in Romans 1:7 that we are called saints. In Acts chapter 2, verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That call is a universal call that goes out to the world to say, whosoever will may come. The Bible talks about being called according to his purpose. And we're looking for a man here today, a man and his companion, if he's married, who have answered the call A man who is sharing that call with his family, with his children, who makes clear the way of salvation and the way of discipleship. So we're looking for one who will answer the call, who makes the kingdom of God a priority. The Bible says Jesus gave the illustration in Matthew chapter 22 about a king who prepared a marriage for his son. And he said, I'm going to invite people to the marriage of my son. And so he sent forth his servants to call the people that had been invited. And they would not come. They would not come. And it was not a priority in their lives. And so then he sent other servants. And the Bible says that they made light of that call. They made light of it and went their way. One to his field, one to this, one to that, one to the other thing. Too busy to answer the call. And this is not an evangelistic message this morning, but it very well could be. To answer the call to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. For many are called, but few are chosen. The call goes out, but many, many hear that call, but few actually respond to it. So we're looking for a man this morning who has responded to the call of God to become a follower of Jesus Christ, which very quickly leads us to the next call, and that is the call to discipleship. The call to discipleship. And one could say that those calls are very intricately connected, and they are. But nevertheless, the call to discipleship is similar to what happened to Jesus' disciples in Mark chapter 1. Where he was passing along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now this was probably not the first time that they had met Jesus, but this was early in their acquaintance with Jesus, and he issues that call to discipleship, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately, without reservation, without hesitation, without really doing a lot of deliberation, immediately they followed him. They left their nets and they followed him. And we're looking for a man this morning and his companion who has decided prior to this to follow Christ immediately, whatever the cost. Whatever the requirements, whatever the call, whatever the position, whatever the place, he's already answered that call to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and has become obvious and evident to you as a congregation. And going a little further, he saw James and the son of Zebedee and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Follow Jesus. You're looking for someone who's following Jesus. Interestingly enough, I see call there, the call of a team. The call of a team. Jesus rarely, if ever, I'm doing a little mental digital scan here to think if I can remember any time when Jesus sent somebody out alone. Most of the time, if not all the time, he sent them out, at least two people at a time, as part of a larger team. You here at Faith have a team. You have a team ministry. That's the strength of a congregation when that team is functioning well. It's a great strength. When it functions poorly, it can be, it needs work. But I see your team functioning well more for the most part. And of course, we always have those issues that we have to work through and so on. But you're called to be a part of the team. And that call came to Simon and Peter and Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John and the 12. Now you see this in the text this morning where the call to discipleship is not real defined, but you do see it in essence. I mean, we're talking about a lad here. We're talking about a boy here, but he was called. And his response to the call was, "Here I am. I'm listening. I want to serve. I want to follow. I want to follow instructions. I want to follow God. I want to walk with God." In chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "The child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men." So you have Samuel here walking with God, even though he didn't even know who he was walking with yet. This was his introduction to God. But he was growing. He was He was prospering spiritually. Jesus said, I do not call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. How do you get to be a friend of Jesus? By answering the call to be his disciple. Answering that call. And so we have here someone who's growing. I remember reading the story of a man who was an older man in the congregation, and he was always somewhat proud of the fact that he had walked with the Lord for many years, or he had been a Christian for many years. I'm not sure how closely he had walked. But he'd been a Christian for many years, and he was one of the older men in the church, and he would get up and give testimony. He said, well, I said, I may not be growing that much anymore, but I'm established. Oh, okay, Brother John is established in the faith. That's good. That's good. One day his mules and his wagon had got stuck in the mud. And somebody came from the church, came past him, and saw that he was stuck in the mud. Well, and quite tongue-in-cheek said, Brother John, I can see you're not going anywhere, but you sure are established. You're stuck. You're stuck in the mud. You know, you can be established and stuck. But when we're talking about being a disciple, we're talking about someone who's growing, walking, moving forward with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of leader you want. That's the kind of pastor you want. Someone who's not stuck. Someone who had an experience with God years ago, but one who had an experience with God yesterday and today. One who's experiencing the presence of God. One who's growing and moving forward in his faith. And I want you to know here that this is the kind of person that God honored. God honored him as he honored God. You look in verse 19. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. I've often pondered on that passage, on that verse. What does that mean, let none of his words fall to the ground? Who's he talking about, didn't let the words fall to the ground? Did Samuel not let the Lord's word fall to the ground, or did the Lord not let Samuel's words fall to the ground? It's not real clear. If you look in some other translations, they clarify it by speaking that he let none of his words fall to the ground, speaking of God fulfilling the prophecies that Samuel gave. And God honored Samuel as Samuel honored God. The Christian Standard Bible says he fulfilled everything Samuel prophesied. How could God fulfill everything Samuel prophesied? Because Samuel was honoring the word of the Lord. In fact, if you go back up to chapter 2, verse 30, you see this. The Lord said, God of Israel said, I said indeed that your house and your house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed or disgraced or disdained. And so we're looking for a man who honors God, so that God can honor him by establishing his ministry in the gospel. The third call that we see in this passage is the call to serve. The call to serve. We've seen the call to repentance, the call to discipleship. Now we see the call to serve. In verse 1, Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. I love that phrase. Samuel ministered to the Lord. We often think about the Lord ministering to us, right? Here Samuel was ministering to the Lord. How did he minister to the Lord? By serving the Lord. That's how you minister to the Lord. The word minister here means serving. Samuel served the Lord before Eli. And verse 4. Samuel, here I am, Eli. I'm at your disposal. I'm here to help. What do you want me to do, Eli? Wouldn't you love to have a child like that? You mean I have to? No, you get to. You don't have to if you want to. You want to. You had that discussion with your children, I'm sure. But what would it be a child like that of God who just simply says, Lord, here I am. I hear you calling, not quite sure what all that means at this point, but here I am, Lord. I want to serve. I want to serve. In verse 15, Samuel lay down until morning and got up and opened the doors of the house of the Lord like he was used to doing. You know, he was a servant. He loved to serve. He was there to serve. Now, may I suggest to you this morning that the person you're looking for future leadership in the faith congregation, who is one who is willing to serve. Amen? That's awfully weak.
Are you looking for someone to serve? I see some people like that, but you're a little timid this morning. We're looking for someone to serve. Serve the Lord in a particular calling. It's one of the things that we have to realize is that we don't call people to leadership and then expect them to serve. We call somebody who's serving and then expect them to lead. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. A lot of people will look to leadership and they're not willing to serve here. Oh, no, I would not serve here, and I couldn't serve here, and I couldn't serve here. But I'll serve in leadership. Wrong man. Wrong man. Wrong question. Are you willing to lead? The question is not, are you willing to lead? The question is, are you willing to serve? Are you available to serve? And are you serving? See, a lot of times people make a mistake when they call leaders to whatever. They look to see who's gifted, who's talented, who is able, who is willing. But I think we ought to take a step back from that and say, you know, we ought to look for somebody who's already doing it. Not with an official title, but somebody who's already serving. I remember hearing of a pastor who had a young man in his congregation, and he recognized the talents and gifts of leadership and the call of God upon this young man's life, and he said, I would like to prepare you for leadership training. And so the time came, and I don't know how they had it structured, but he didn't really say how he's going to prepare this young man. And first period of time, all that young man did was do the cleaning the bathrooms. I got more talents than cleaning the bathrooms, you could say. That's where a servant starts. That's where a servant starts. May God give us servants like Samuel, who was ministering before the Lord, just opening the doors of the tabernacle daily. Just being there for Eli. Just offering himself. Just let me serve. Here's something that I have learned in the Christian life when it comes to serving and leading. We do not volunteer to lead. We volunteer to serve. And if in God's divine providence and call, the church or the group that you serve recognizes that God wants you to lead, they call you to lead. You volunteer to serve. You are called to lead. You don't get called to serve and volunteer to lead. Or we have other issues that we need to deal with. So the call to serve. The call to serve. And to call to serve here. Some people will say, yeah, I'll serve the Lord, but I think that means somewhere else. just let me go somewhere else. And the call comes to serve here. Now there's this great joy and great blessing in going somewhere else to serve. And some people are called to do that, but then there's some people that are called to serve right here at home. Because if the home churches aren't taken care of, there becomes nobody to send people to go. And so don't ever underestimate the fact that there is a legitimate call to serve at home. At one point, Brother Alan Roth, you all know Brother Alan Roth. He's a going guy. I mean, go. Call people to go. I mean, if you don't want to go to the mission field, don't ever tell Alan Roth that you are interested in missions, even remotely. He has a book that he keeps track of all those things in. And you will hear from him. I said, Brother Alan, I said, you're taking all of our people. We got some ministries at home here that we also need to have manned and staffed and serving. We had a good interchange. No conflict. It's just a matter of don't underestimate the fact that God calls people to serve in the home tabernacle. Don't diminish that at all. And don't diminish those who are called to go. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Do business with this. He said he gave them 10 minas. He said, do business with this until I come back. So what are the minas that God has put in your hands? Serve with them. Serve with them. Serve where you are, where God has called. I tell you, there have been times when I've been tempted to walk right out of the ministry in the local church. There have been times. Not often. But there was a time when I was ready to walk right out and, please pardon me, don't send this home. And write Ichabod over the top of the door. The glory has departed. You know what I'm talking about? Can we be that honest this morning? One thing kept me from making that big mistake. And that was this idea. Occupy till I come. Do business with what I have given you, where I have put you, until I change your orders. And that was a great comfort to me. And I realized the military example. Pardon me for using a military example, but it's a good one. That when the commanding officer says to stay your post, you stay your post until you get further instructions. Amen? Well, Lord, I think it'd be a good idea for me to serve over here. Now, I hadn't called you to serve over there. I called so-and-so to serve over there. I called you to serve here. I called you to clean the toilets. I called you to open the doors of the temple, the tabernacle. I've called you to serve on the committees faithfully in preparation for a call to leadership. Enough said on that. One more. That is the call to lead. A call to lead in the Word. A call to lead God's people. A call from God. Jeremiah had that call. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. And I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I appointed you. And then Jeremiah had his list of excuses, as many of the prophets did. Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said, do not say I am a youth. I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Wow. God qualifying, God equipping, God supernaturally enduing with power to accomplish the call that God put on his life. John the Baptist, thou child shall be called the prophet of the Most High. Paul said, Paul called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. The other apostles, it came to pass in those days he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And it was day he called unto him his disciples. No one takes this call upon themselves. It is given by God. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, speaking about the priesthood of Christ. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So don't even think about stepping forward unless God is called. There are too many times in the ministry where you say, God, I cannot do this. I do not know how to do this. I need you, like Moses. Lord, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. I'm not going. I can't go. But then Moses, when God does call, stop arguing. Stop arguing with God. When God calls, here I am. That's what makes the simplicity of Samuel's faith so beautiful. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I'm just, Eli, I'm here. Ministry team, I'm here. I just want to serve. I want to serve God. God has done so much for me. I just want to serve. I want to serve. This is so important. It's so important that the Lord himself showed up to do this call. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send another prophet. He came himself. I want you to look in verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. Samuel, Samuel. He knew his name and he took up a position near him to speak into his life, to call. That word there, stood and called, means he stationed himself in a place or he took a position. It's a position of nearness, a position of standing, a position of authority. As God spoke into the life of young Samuel and said, Samuel, Samuel. And when your mom or dad says your name twice, you better listen. I don't know if Samuel had a middle name, but this was like saying front name and middle name. Pay attention. Pay attention. I'm here because I have a job for you to do. And Samuel said, here I am. I'm willing to serve. Willing to serve. And I'm willing to answer the call. And he could answer that call to leadership because he had answered the other calls to repent. He answered the other calls to discipleship. He answered the other call to obedience and to service. And so then when the call came, I want you to be a leader in Israel. Verse 20, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. It was confirmed by the congregation of God's people. Now let me just say a moment of a thing about that. When we, as Anabaptists, believe in the authority of the church, the people of God gathered together, who have prayed, who have fasted, who have given themselves to the attention, significant attention to following Christ and seeking His will, we believe that God speaks through the church to confirm what the individual may be sensing. Because, and this may not be a proper interpretation, but many are called, but few are chosen. There are many men through the years who have sensed the call to the ministry and have not been chosen. Why? I don't understand that. Sometimes something that, like having a wife that is out of order, hinders God's people from confirming the call. Sometimes having children that are out of order hinders God's people from recognizing the call and renders them necessary to serve in another way. Sometimes there may be some character flaw, defect that they have not been willing or ready to address in their lives, and that keeps God from confirming it through the congregation. And other times, so what is can be felt like a call to the ministry is actually a call to some sort of ministry, not necessarily the pastoral ministry. I meet guys in prison all the time, who say, I think God has called me to preach. God's called me to the ministry. I get their letters at the office. I want to be ordained. How can I be ordained? Give me a website so I can go on and get my ordination. It doesn't work that way. Wrong question. How do I serve? And so when God begins to do a significant work in their life, they mistakenly think that may be a call to the pastoral ministry. It may be a call to ministry, but maybe not governmental ministry in the local church. So don't despise your call just because you may not be called now to this place at this time for this role. But again, what God is looking for is a servant's heart. I just want to serve. I love God. I love God's people. I love the church. I want to be involved in the work of the church. Whether I'm called to be a pastor in this congregation or not, does not in one way, one iota, diminish my desire to serve God's people. So I speak to you today to challenge you to answer the call. Whatever God's call, however it comes to you, whatever is for place, time, all those variables, answer His call to serve. Because we know those accounts in Scripture where people had a call from God and did not obey the call, and it didn't work out so well for them, a.k.a. Jonah. Almost didn't work out very well for Moses either, because Moses was testing God's patience almost to the limit, that God tried to kill him on the way down there to Egypt because he had grown negligent with the call and instructions of the Word of God. And here's something else you can learn from the life of Moses and the call of Moses, is that God will put up. He'll put up with questions about my abilities. God, I can't speak. God, I can't. I know a pastor, dear friend of ours, that stuttered, had a stuttering problem for years. The church called him, for whatever reason, to be a pastor. He's now the lead pastor. And if you didn't know him well, you wouldn't imagine that he ever stuttered. God equipped the man to answer the call. But anyway, God has great patience with us when we question our ability. But he has no patience with us when we simply flat out deny our willingness to serve. Story is told about Peter Marshall. Peter Marshall was a young minister. His wife, Catherine Marshall, wrote the book. The name of it leaves me. A Man Called Peter, something like that. He was a young man from Scotland, and he came over to the United States and eventually became he was the first chaplain of the U.S. Senate, and a very godly man. Peter was out as a young man one night, in a dark night, in the Scottish moors, and he was going to take a route home that was a little bit unfamiliar to him, but he knew he could make it, thought he could make it, knew there was a rock quarry out there somewhere. But he thought, yeah, I can get around that and I'll be okay. And he took off out across that deserted area with no lights, trying to find his way to his destination. All of a sudden he heard someone say, "Peter." He turned around and said, "Who is it? Yes, what do you want?" Heard no one. So he kept going. "Peter. Who is it?" About that time, he stopped, he stumbled, and when he stumbled, he reached out his hand to nothing. He came up to that great abyss where there was nothing. God called to save his life and equip him for a few years of ministry. Died when he was 46 years old. 46 or 48. So answer the call when it comes. Answer the call to repentance. Answer the call to discipleship. Answer the call to serve. Answer the call to lead. Father in heaven, we once again pray for your blessing. We pray for your anointing. We pray for your superintending of your Spirit over this process today. Dear God, you love the people here at Faith. We love them. And it's a joy to see a congregation living and growing and breathing and moving forward, preparing leadership for the future. You love them, Lord, more than any of us put together. You purchased this congregation with your own blood. And I pray, Lord, that we will take very, very seriously how this call is processed and who this call involves. We need you. We do not put confidence today in a system. We do not put confidence in our own abilities. We only put confidence in Christ. And so, Lord, would you show yourself once again to be faithful where we are frail, unable to see very far or very well. But each one is part of the larger body, having discerned God's will in the best way that we know. Use us today, Lord, to confirm God's call upon the man of your choosing. And to that end, we pray for the glory of God for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen.